Hi and welcome to episode 8 of New Zealand Vegan Podcast. I had a bunch of stuff that I wanted to talk about, things that kind of happened during the week, as per usual. I talk a lot about our use of animals as food, because that is the majority of our use of them, but there are other uses, obviously, and entertainment is one of them. And I've mentioned before that when you become a vegan for reasons of ethics or morals, and you start to look at the world in a completely different way, and you start to realize the enormity of our exploitation of animals. You don't really realize it until you become aware of it, and you don't become aware of it until you change the fundamental way that you look at all other living things. And I didn't do that until very recently, but when you do it, you become aware of so many different things. Things that you just wouldn't know normally, or you never used to notice when you were participating in the exploitation directly. Probably it was some sort of defense mechanism as well, because the truth is very painful, especially if you admit that you are directly involved in the suffering. You have to find some unconscious way of either blocking it out or justifying it, and that's what the majority of us do. Although it is, because I have this different way of looking at things now, I've become aware of it, and it, like I say, I find it in books and movies and conversations. It just comes up I just take it differently. I remember we were watching a movie the other night, and there was, well, I'll talk about that movie a little bit because I was thinking about a couple of things. It was just a comedy, and it was about a couple of guys, and it was a very, very funny movie. It did have animals in it. Most movies do. Even if it's not a movie about an animal, movies have animals in them, because there are animals in almost every aspect of our lives as humans. And the animals used in movies are used in entertainment, and I think that it is wrong, and they do often get abused. I personally know for a fact that I was actually involved in doing the sound for a movie before I even became vegan, but I was kind of on my way. It all happened the same year, and that's one of the reasons why I'm not a sound engineer anymore, for advertising and television anyway, because there's just too much conflict with my ethics now. But I did the sound for this film, and the film stars dogs, real live dogs, and they have voices of kids, and the dogs are filmed doing things, and then they overdub the kids' voices. And I worked on some of the voices for the second film, and I was just recording these kids. It was produced by a big agency, and it was quite a famous kids' film, I guess. And then I found out, and as I was doing it, I was starting to change the way I was thinking, as I said, and I did think to myself, well, these are quite young puppies that they're using, and I didn't feel too comfortable by the end. I'd already done the work, and I was wondering why the movie wasn't coming out, because I wanted my credit. I wanted to put it on my resume, because it was a, you know, pretty big film, for a kids film, I guess. And so I looked it up, and the reason why it wasn't released yet was because they were being investigated quite heavily by the people who do that. I think it's the American Humane Society, I'm not sure, because a lot of the puppies had died in the making of the film. They brought a whole bunch of puppies to this location, and the puppies got a virus, and puppies of a certain age are not supposed to be used in making films, because they are very susceptible to this virus under the age of, I think, 6 months, and they're actually not able to be immunized. The immunization doesn't take, so they're completely vulnerable to this virus, and so they took a whole lot of puppies against the rules. Puppies all died of this virus, and so they took more, and they died as well. And then they finally got their film done, but now it hasn't been released yet. Or maybe it has. I gave up looking, because that just really horrified me. And I think by the time I found that out, I had seen Earthlings and changed sort of the way I was thinking about things. And so certainly didn't want to use it on my resume. And you know, it just makes you think, because people who go to the movies don't really look at the animals in the film any different than they look at the actors in the film. But they have to remember that. I mean, maybe the odd dog, maybe the guy at the dog in mask was enjoying himself or whatever. But if you take a close look at the animal, I look at the animal very carefully now, obviously. I remember watching another movie where it was a guy, Steve Carell. He's a very funny guy, and he did a movie about the Noah's Ark, and he was the modern day Noah. And of course the film was full of animals, and I actually stopped watching it. And the point that I stopped was when a baboon walked up to him and handed him something. In the film he's sitting there, and then a baboon walks in and gives him something, and I'm of course watching the baboon, and you can see him, he's very, very nervous. The baboon is very nervous. He's looking off to the other side of the off camera, because goodness knows how many takes they had to do, goodness knows what they had to do to this baboon to make him do this little trick. Goodness knows what he's been through in his life to make him perform these things at the whim of them. And he was walking very unnaturally. He was very, you know, he just was not a happy animal. And you know, people don't see that. They look at the film and they see, oh, there's a baboon high, and he's walking on his hind you know, paws, and he's handing the Noah something, ha ha, and then the baboon will go off camera. And oh, and I'll just mention another example of that. I was watching this movie with my brother, these two guys, and there was a bullfight in the movie. The movie was called Matador, but it just happened to feature a bullfight. And I don't know if the fight was going on while they were filming, but it looked like it may have been, or whether they cut in footage of a fight that had been previously fought, I'm not sure. But my brother knows I'm a vegan, and he said, "You don't want to look at this." He says, "You don't want to see this." And I was like, well, you know, I really don't. But I have seen I have seen all of that before. I just look at it in a different way now. I don't enjoy looking at it. I see it in a different way. And there was one scene where it was in Mexico City. A lot of the movie was filmed in Mexico City, and it was set in Mexico City. And they're walking through a crowded marketplace where there's all kinds of animal parts for sale, pig's heads and live animals, and you know, none of those animals are actors, and none of them give a toss about acting or the film industry. They just want to be left alone, of course, as we all know. But there was a very, very striking image that I saw, because like I say, with this, the way that I look at the world now, I see these things. I may have seen them before, I don't really remember. Maybe they touched me a little bit, but they never really, obviously they didn't touch me enough because I wasn't a vegan. Anyway, it was the two actors were walking through this crowded marketplace, and the camera angle was at the level of a cage, looking up at the actors like it was one of the animals in the cage, and there were these two little monkeys. I don't know, remember the breed. I think they're the type of commonly used monkeys. Maybe the one from Indiana Jones was that type. And they were very young, and they were absolutely terrified. They were terrified. Their mouths had a perfect O. Their lips were just in an O of fear. They were just like these two scared little babies, and they ran right in front of the camera, and they were just, they had nowhere to go. I mean, they were inside a cage, probably about, you know, 2 feet by 3 feet or whatever. And it was just, I'm sure that the people kept this in the film because it was such a close-up, and the monkeys run right past the lens, and then the actors are walking past. And then that was it, that flash. But I can't get their faces out of my head. That's what I remember about that scene. And yeah, it isn't pleasant, but it exists, and it still very much exists. It just makes me more determined to try to let other people see this way of looking at other animals as not things or as not our property or our pets. There's a lot more to it than just food, and it's just a way of looking at them differently. I find that empathy comes when you put yourself in the position of the persecuted one. I think that that's probably quite common with most people. If people really want to try to understand, I mean, you can't fully understand the pain of something else because you're not actually going through the pain. But, you know, when you say you're a mother with a very young child and you meet another mother and she's sitting on the bench crying and you ask her what's wrong and she says, "I lost my baby," and the baby turns out to be the exact same age as your child is now, you can empathize with her maybe even more than anybody else. But the reason you empathize with her is because you put yourself in her position and you imagine what it would be like to be her, to sit there and know that her child was dead and she was never going to see her child again. And after carrying the baby for 9 months and going through labor and all the pain to bring the baby into the world and then for the baby to die. So you put yourself in the position of the sufferer, and that's how you get insight into the suffering. So now that I am vegan, I often find that it's unbidden, it's just the way it is. So I remember once I was walking around a supermarket in New York with my friend, and there was a woman who was reaching into a big bucket or a big plastic container, and it had the bodies of crabs in there, big crabs. You know, they're considered a delicacy. And one of the crabs was alive, and maybe more of them were, but this one was fighting. You could reach in there with these metal tongs and pull out the body of the crab that you wanted, and he had his claw up, and he was snapping. Now, the size of the claw was like not even, they were quite big for crabs, I guess. Maybe it was the size of your fingers. And, you know, the woman was hitting at the bucket and saying and you know, and I just put myself, unbiddingly, it just occurred to me the position that crab was in, and I put myself in that crab's position, and he's about the size of maybe the woman's foot. He's in a bucket filled with corpses. He's barely alive. He doesn't know why this is happening to him or what's happening to him. All he knows is that he's dying on top of all these corpses in this, you know, bright light, completely unnatural, unbelievably unnatural habitat. I mean, it would be like when people talk about alien abductions, you know, or the way that they portray alien abductions on film, as you're in this spaceship and it's such an alien habitat for you. So there was this crab, and my friend, and I had become vegan by then, so I was very much aware of these things. Like I said, it's just like a moment of clarity, as the alcoholics put it. And so the woman was acting all scared at this poor crab, and I remember my friend looked at it, and I said, we saw this happen, and then a man started to come over, someone who worked there, to help the woman. You know, like the woman's the one who needs the help, right? And I said, you know, he's suffering. It's not fair that he should be suffering like that. You shouldn't. And all my friend was like, yeah, but they taste so good. And I said, I can't say it in English, but something about the fact that this crab is dying and his claw is up, and it's just so wrong that not only are they going to just, they're farming them and eating them, but they're just leaving them to die so horribly. Now, I'm certainly not all about humane crab. I'm not saying let's go out and get the crabs and then gas them, okay? All I'm saying is at that time I said, that doesn't mean they have to make them suffer even more. That's something like I said, was it? And the guy heard me, the guy who worked there, because my friend said something about the woman, I don't know. I said, it doesn't mean that they should be made to suffer even more. And the guy heard me, and he had a little look in the bucket, and I think for a brief second he realized there was actually living things in there that might actually be suffering. And he took something and he hit the crab very hard and killed it instantly. Now, I have no comment on that last bit, but Anyway, these are the things you notice when you become vegan, and all that does is make you aware. I don't, break it down into a miserable ball of anguish. I just am aware, and I try to make people around me aware. When my brother said, "You don't want to see this," I said, "Well, I've seen a lot worse." And like I said, I hate to put categories or degrees on suffering, but anybody who's seen Earthlings has seen the worst. You have seen as bad as it gets, I would say. It's all bad. And I said, "Look, I've seen this before. I just look at it in a different way. That's all." And yeah, I don't choose to look at it. I would probably never have gotten the film out. I'm very fussy about what films I get now because I really don't even like to see animals in films at all. I'm loving the CGI animals. I'm loving the CGI animals. I think that's fabulous that they're doing that. But then that brings me to another thing that happened yesterday. And it just is really brings it home that what we really have to change is the fundamental way that people look at all other living animals. It's a fundamental way of looking at them. That's why we're so against telling people that that it's okay to farm them or it's okay to use them as long as you do it quote unquote humanely. It's just so wrong because it doesn't change the fundamental way that people look at them, which is as things or as our property, as lesser objects almost. And I had an email, somebody sent an email to me at my job yesterday, and she knows I'm a vegan. We're very, very good friends, and she's actually been very helpful because she's Indian, she's Fijian Indian, and she warned me that they use ghee in a lot of the preparation of the dough. So even if you say, "Oh, I want a vegetable samosa," it's very likely, not necessarily true, but it's very possible that ghee was used in the making of the dough. And as we all know, ghee is clarified butter, so a vegan doesn't want anything to do with ghee. And I said, "Thank you." So now I know to ask, how do you make your samosas? Do you make them with oil or do you make them with ghee? The majority of them are made with ghee. Same with naan bread. You can get naan bread with no ghee on top, but ghee goes into the dough. They like to use ghee when they make the product, so you have to make sure. So there are samosas that are made without ghee, and you can just find out what they are. And I don't buy naan bread ever, just because I'm not sure. But she warned me about things like that. But she's certainly not a vegan. And somebody had sent around this email, and it was profoundly upsetting to me. Two of the pictures were. I didn't make any comments to her. I didn't say anything to her. I was going to say, that wasn't the title of the email. And in fact, the sad thing is, I can actually quote you verbatim because I deleted it and I didn't look at it anymore. And I didn't say anything to anybody. And I just kept it to myself. And I thought, I'll just talk about it on my podcast. Okay, that's what I was going to do to deal with it. People at my job, I think I'm the only vegan in the entire place, which is not unusual. And so, they sent this email around, and it's called So Cute. That's the subject matter. It's called 10 Tips for 2009, but in the subject matter of the email I got, somebody had put "So cute!" exclamation mark, exclamation mark, etc. And I was like, "Oh, well, a cute email. Let me have a look." It says 10 tips for 2009, and I was going to try to talk about it vaguely today, from memory. But I got home, and the vegan group that I receive emails from had actually sent the same email, which I do find quite, well, all I can say is it was very upsetting to me because of two pictures in it. The first, it says 10 tips for 2009, and I can't believe that I got home and this was sitting in my inbox. I couldn't believe it. It's a series of 10 pictures, and some of them are extremely adorable and very clever. They're using sayings, famous sayings, or tips. So number four is exercise to maintain good health is the tip, and then there's a picture of a bird, kind of looks like he's doing pull-ups. He's hanging from a branch, kind of in a cute position, and he's on a branch, and he's probably a wild bird, and he's probably a very happy bird, and it's a very pleasant picture to look at. And there is I can't remember the name of these. They're marsupials. Now, what are they? See, the name escapes me. I won't waste any time. But they're all hanging on to their mother, and it says practice teamwork. So it's very cute. But the first picture, the one that opens it up, is called "Do Not Get Into Trouble," and it is a stallion. And he is fallen into what looks like to be in an oil refinery out in the desert in the States. And it's a hole, it's a metal lined hole. It's probably about the size of a manhole, or maybe bigger, because he's a very big horse by the looks of it. And it is one of the most upsetting, photos I've ever seen. And I can't believe that. Anyway, he's in a very bad way. I mean, you just have to look at the men. There's all these men with hard hats standing around, and the men look grim. Their heads are down, their hands are dangling. They know this horse is doomed. I would say this horse is absolutely hurt. There's a bloody, you can see blood on a towel that they've tried to put around, because it's a metal lined hole surrounded by dirt, and he's basically up to his front legs, and he's hanging there by his front legs. Anybody who knows a horse's body is not designed to do that. I would say his back legs are broken, and as we all know, any horse that has a broken leg, it's a bull in the brain, because they haven't come up with a way to fix a horse's leg, although I'm sure they could. They can make, and other animals' hearts go in a human's body. I'm sure they could find a way to help a horse with a broken leg, but rather than do that, they just shoot them because it's cheaper and it's quicker and it's easier that way. But anyway, this horse is, the scenario is so grim and distressing. He's obviously either a workhorse that's used on this finery. He backed into this hole, and it's just a terrible photo. And I was very not. I was very upset by the photo, but most of the people at my job, I figured I didn't expect them to look at it this way, but I did expect other people to. Well, anyway, it's a not a happy photo, and I was going to describe it, but now I've actually got it sitting in front of me, and I'm looking at him, and he's in a most beautiful, beautiful horse, but this even the look on the men's faces is just. Well, you can't really see their faces. Their heads are down, but it's not a good look. If you look at this photo, you know that the horse is doomed. He's probably in a lot of pain, and you can even see the blood on the toweling that they've tried to put around this metal so he doesn't scratch himself up or scrooge himself up. I mean, look, if the next picture was this horse being lifted out successfully and running away, then it all would be good. But there is no next picture. This is number one. Do not get into trouble. Ha ha ha, so cute. I'm sorry to be negative, but I really didn't want to see that picture again, and then I got home. And so the other ones are cute. There's one called Aim for Greater Heights, and it's his dogs leaping over a fence. Let's hope they're not involved in a hunt, but they're leaping over the fence, and that's all very cute. Number three is another one that I didn't like. There was only two that I didn't like out of all 10, and it is a. It's called Stay Focused on Your Job, and it's a cowboy in a rodeo, and he has obviously jumped off his horse and locked his hand, his arms around the neck of a steer, and he's in the process of using the twist that they do to bring the steer, to make the steer fall. And the steer's eyes are rolled to the whites, fully showing. I mean, just when you look at the animals in a different way and you watch a rodeo, it's not the same as watching a rodeo, the way most people see a rodeo or rodeo. So this animal is probably terrified. He's probably hot. He's probably been tormented to all death, and he's anyway. But they're locked face to face, and it says, "Stay focused on your job." I mean, their eyes are about maybe a foot apart, if that, in this photo, and the animal is in the process of being brought down for entertainment, and this dirt and this heat, and there's probably a crowd. And anyway, I don't find it particularly cute or uplifting. But anyway, that's just one of the examples I want to say. When you just look at things in a different way than other people, and we're all capable of looking at things in this way, and rather than getting depressed about it, it's just a very, very clear way of looking at things. You can actually make an individual choice to not partake in this kinds of things, specifically animals for entertainment or rodeos. Animals shouldn't be used for work. So it's more than just food. But I wanted to just mention that it did. The email that I got yesterday, I didn't enjoy it at all. And then I get home, and here it is again. And I hate that email, and I'm actually going to delete it right now. But I do love animal photos. One of my favorite websites was cuteoverload.com. There are always, now that I'm vegan, there's always photos on there. I just have a little more insight into what may be going on. If you really, really think about it, if you really think about what might actually be going on when an animal is used in entertainment, you have to just be logical, be objective. You may think that's funny because most people think that vegans or animal lovers are not objective at all and we're all highly emotional and completely irrational, but no. The truth of the matter is that for an animal, especially what is considered wild animal, when it's put in a situation where it has to entertain, there is severe consequences for the actions of everybody involved if that animal does not behave in a safe way, if it doesn't do what it's told. And the way that they get the animals to do what they're told is not nice at all. And anytime you look at a photo of a cute little animals on a card, have a close look at their face and see if they look relaxed, or if they look like they've been shoved under these bright lights and told to sit still and sit still and sit still and maybe cajoled and then confused and then maybe hurt, because pain is a definite teacher. And then all these things, if you just really think about the way they're made, sometimes it's hard to tell with a photo, but definitely in the films, watch the animal's behavior in the films. I mean, in a film, when a horse is screaming and neighing and rearing up, he's not acting. It's not like an actor jumping up and down and hollering and then going and having a cup of tea once the scene's over. The animal is profoundly affected by what's happening to it, and it's just not fair to do that to an animal just for entertainment when we have ourselves to entertain us. We don't need to go to a circus and see people riding on the backs of elephants. We can go to a circus like Cirque du Soleil or whatever and see people doing amazing things with their bodies voluntarily, doing beautiful visuals and tricks and all kinds of things. We need to take the animals out of it. I need to stop because I'm going to be too tired. I've got other things I want to talk about in continuation with this, with regard to changing. Well, it's always, always, always about changing the fundamental way that people look at animals, and the only way to do that is to convince them to open their eyes to the reality of the situation and to just admit, because it's true, that we shouldn't be doing this. We shouldn't be doing any of it to these creatures. But unless you see it, you don't even need to think about it, and it certainly doesn't bother you. So everybody else, I'm sure, that looked at that email, somehow, I'm sure there were some people who looked at the horse and was like, oh, that's not very funny, or that doesn't look very nice. Maybe they noticed the blood on the towel, I don't know. Maybe they noticed the absolute grim horror of the scene. I don't know. I certainly did. But I know a lot of people would just look at it and say, oh yeah, don't get into trouble, oh, and then they'd click to the next picture and oh, how cute is that, and how cute is that? And they just don't see it, and they watch the film and they see these animals in cages and they see the scene. Oh, they're in a market and it's very realistic, and that is really what the markets are like. I mean, I don't know what I would do if I was somehow or other posted, or if I got a job opportunity or something, or I went to walk through these markets where they keep a lot of live animals in cages that are food animals, and like they do in a lot of markets, because they don't do that here. Well, they certainly don't do it at the markets I go to. Everything's already dead, so you can just kind of walk past it, and you don't have to hear it, and you don't have to see him or her in the cage, either dying or just absolutely terrified. And the worst thing about it is the horror is true. When an animal is in a fur farm, if you just put yourself in their position, that's the thing that's the only way that people are gonna even relate to the fact that it really is wrong that these animals are suffering, especially for trivial reasons, for entertainment or just, somebody's pleasure or somebody's idea of a good time. If you just put yourself in that cage, okay, and then you and the worst thing about it is it's worse than any horror movie you could ever imagine, because that animal is going to be forcibly dragged out of that cage and slaughtered horribly in unbelievable ways, Or maybe experimented on, maybe bled to death, maybe skinned alive, maybe electrocuted. And you know this is going to happen. They don't know this because they're just in the cage, but they know something bad's going to happen. And they're terrified. And then the worst nightmare happens to them. And this just goes on and on. If you put yourself in that position and try to just. But the reason people don't do it is because they don't look at animals as things with minds and feelings. And they don't think that they're capable. They think that, for some reason, they think that you have to have, I guess, existential philosophical ideas about your own existence before you're justified to be considered part of the moral community and that your suffering counts. So, you know, if you want to argue, I mean, really, really don't know what goes on in the minds of, well, anybody, except for yourself, and even sometimes you don't know what goes on in your own mind. But we don't really know what's going on in the animal's mind. I mean, I'm sure the animal is not sitting there saying, you know, this is wrong, these humans have imprisoned us, and we must, you know, the animal is just terrified for its very life. It's in pain, it is in absolute terror and confusion and anxiety. And it doesn't matter whether it can analyze the situation or not, the way we could, or whether it could come to some sort of conclusion about the situation. The bottom line is it's suffering terribly. And you take a child and you put a child in a cage and you beat and torture and then you drag the child out and kill it. You know, we would be able to relate to the horror of that. But it's very easy to relate to the horror of it when it comes to all non-human animals. All you have to do is stop looking at them the way you're looking at them and start looking at them the way that they really are. They really can feel. They really can think. Now, what we call thinking, maybe you call thinking is doing mathematical equations or something, but what I call thinking is perception, having an awareness of your own body, your physicalness of your own body. If my hand was cut off, I would be in horror looking at my stump, you know, and so would anything else. And out there in nature, you know, things are brutal and animals do kill each other and eat each other. Well, you know, that's nature, but what we do to them is not natural at all. And habit, and even thousands and thousands of years of habit, doesn't make something natural. It just means that it's something that we do. And it's certainly not natural for us to keep animals in cages and then drag them out and skin them and then make clothing out of their fur, especially just for fun. And I don't care if we used to do it when we were cavemen, and if it wasn't for that, we'd all be dead now. That's irrelevant to me. We don't need to do it. So, yes, I was a little upset today, so I'm glad I got that out. And I hope that it was coherent and that it wasn't just a rant. I know that once you see the world this way, once you really just look at animals for what they really are, and you allow them the same consideration that you allow yourself, and it's basic fundamental consideration, which is the necessities of life, food, shelter, water, and avoidance of pain and suffering. That's the key one right there, because you can give an animal food, shelter, and water, but if you're torturing it every day, it really kind of doesn't make the fact that you're giving it food, shelter, and water moral. It just makes the fact that you're torturing it immoral, bottom line. So it's a paradigm shift, and that's not my quote, but that's what it is. It's a paradigm shift in the way that people look at all other living things, and telling them that it's okay to eat meat that's been humanely raised is not the way to do it, and overlooking these points. About even animals and entertainment, you know, they have these inspectors, and like I said, the movie that I worked on, The Sound, they got involved with that. But the bottom line is, they shouldn't be using the animals at all. There shouldn't be any need for regulatory committees on filmmaking with animals in it, because they shouldn't be using animals in films. The only animals that should be in films are animals that are living out their natural lives and are being filmed without any interference from the filmmakers. I think that that's educational. I think that that is beautiful way to open people's up to the wonder of nature. I mean, there's so many other things to talk about with regard to the abolitionist vegan message, because there is it's a very, very clear message, but there's all different points involved, and one of them is definitely we shouldn't be using animals for entertainment or pets. They're separate issues, so I will take time. I think I have discussed the pet issue already, but and the entertainment issue. I mean, anybody who is an animal rights activist has opinions on that, but you're not going to get animals out of zoos, and yes, zoos are entertainment also. I may have to devote a show to zoos, but you're not going to get them out of the films and out of the cages and the circus if people are still don't look at them as anything other than they're things that we can use, that we have power over, and that we have a right to do with as we please. You're just not going to get them out of there, and so telling people that it's okay to do it as long as they're humanely treated does not change the fundamental status and is not going to make any difference, because they're not going to be treated well. And even if they are, who are you to say that it's right to do that just because you're giving the animal food and water, when in reality, I remember once somebody was trying to argue with me that the horse wanted to be ridden. He just kept saying, "The horse wants me to ride him." We were just having some scenario about a horse. I don't know why he brought up horse. He said, "Horses, what's wrong with riding horses?" And I said, "Look, a horse doesn't want a 200-pound man on his back with a metal thing shoved between his teeth, you know, a metal bit, jerking his head this way and that. A horse just wants to run when he wants to run, walk when he wants to walk, eat his grass when he's hungry, drink his water when he's thirsty, and avoid pain and suffering and bad weather if possible." "No, the horse wants me to ride him," he said. "The horse wants to be ridden." I was like, that's why they have to break in the horse, right? But anyway, people look at animals that way. They all do. They all do. We all do. I did for a long, 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 long time. I might have even missed that horse situation just because it was so incongruous. It was like, "Oh, don't get into trouble. There's the top half of a horse sticking out of a hole. Ha, ha, ha. Next photo? Not." So that was my rant for today. I hope it wasn't too angry. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I'll be back next week.